Welcome back, everybody. We're now going to have a selection of life stories, poems and song from the students at Chesterfield College. The students who are here tonight are from the Health and Social Care Department. They're level 3 students, which means that's an A-level equivalent, and they're hoping to go on to work in health and social care professionals. As part of the course, it's really important that they learn about equality and diversity. As part of the equality and diversity courses, they look at things to do with discrimination. So they look at discrimination on the basis of different characteristics, which could be race and culture, disability, sexuality. And so they've been learning about what discrimination is, but also about anti-discriminatory practice. So it's very close to their hearts, some of these subjects today, and the people who face persecution. We've heard about the great strength and courage that individuals display during the genocide, and we are also hoping that people can see how they can stand up on an individual basis as well. We're going to now hear a life story which is going to be read by Jade and Chloe Clark.
Why are you making such a big deal out of it? I just helped a little. I was in the right place at the right time. Despite Sir Nicholas's humble and inspiring statement, it was more than just being in the right place at the right time, as his life story will show. Sir Nicholas Winton was born in Hampstead, London, in 1909 to Jewish parents. In December 1938, aged 29, Winton cancelled a holiday after being urged by a friend to go to Prague, where the situation had become dire. Winton's friends were working with an organisation to help relocate the adults from refugee camps, and Winton quickly realised that something had to be done to rescue the children as well. He simply could not stand by. The Nazis had a campaign of hatred against the Jewish population in all Nazi territories. An estimated 91 Jews were killed, 30,000 were arrested, and 267 were destroyed. Following this, the British government relaxed its immigration laws and agreed to allow a limited number of children from Germany and Austria. This program was known as the Kinder Transport, and some 10,000 children were successfully brought to Britain. Winton asked the British government to allow some Czech children to come into the UK as well. Permission was granted on the condition that each child was matched to a host family who would care for the children until they were 18, and each child had to have a guarantee of £50 paid by their family. Winton, alongside a few volunteers, including his mother, worked tirelessly to arrange everything the children needed, including finding host families and raising funds to cover the travel expenses of the children. Winton was able to arrange for 669 children to come to the UK over the next few months, the majority of whom were Jewish. The last train of children was scheduled to leave on the 1st of September 1939. It was cancelled because war broke out. Winton believed that none of the 250 children on board was heard of again, which was an awful feeling for him. Although many of the children hoped to be reunited with their parents and families after the war, the majority of them discovered that their parents had been murdered. It was Winton's actions and those of his colleagues who complied, lists of the children and travelled with them on the trains, that prevented them from meeting the same fate. During the war, Nicholas Winton became an ambulance driver before joining the RAF. After the war, Winton joined the International Bank in Paris, where he met his wife, Greta. They had 3 children, one of whom sadly died the day before his 17th birthday. After he retired, Winton spent much of his time doing voluntary work, having been president of the Maidenhead branch of MoCap for over 40 years and co-founder and president of the Applefield Maidenhead Society. Winton did not hide what he had done in 1939, but it was not all known publicly because Winton did not think he had done anything extraordinary. Years later, Winton was trying to donate his papers. identifying the children and matching them up to families or museums. Shortly afterwards, Winton was invited to appear on That Slide, a television show where, to his surprise, he was reunited with some of the children he has helped, including Vera. For most of the children, it was the first time he found out who had rescued them, and felt it was a real honour and privilege to come face to face with their rescuer.
Winton was subsequently awarded many honours, including a knighthood, the freedom of the cities of both Prague and London, and the Order of the White Lion, the Czech Republic's highest honour.
Sir Nicholas Winton was an inspiration to many people, all around the world. He humbly insisted that anyone would have done the same, but he didn't.
Most people stood by.
And we also have another life story. This is Princess Alice of Greece. Princess Alice of Greece, a member of the royal family, a great-granddaughter of Queen Victoria and the mother of Prince Philip, is a British hero.
Princess Alice lived in Athens during World War II. She worked for the Red Cross, organised soup kitchens and flew to Sweden to bring medical supplies back to Athens. Her son Philip was in the British Royal Navy and his son-in-laws was fighting on the German side.
Athens was occupied by the Nazis from 1939 to 1945, and so Jews living in Athens became under threat. The Jews were currently being targeted and deported to concentration camps. The royal family were friends with Jewish people. They knew the family of Heinrich Cohen. Cohen was Jewish and a member of the Greek Parliament, and so they did not agree with what was currently occurring at the time.
King George I was once helped by Cohen, and so wanted to return the favour whenever he was in need. Cohen never asked for anything until...
In 1943, Cohen's wife Rachel died, and left him and their five children living in need. Cohen's family was at risk of being found, arrested and deported by the Nazis, and so Cohen asked Princess Alice for help. Princess Alice knew what Cohen had done for King George I, and wanted to honour his promise by helping him and his family, so Princess Alice let them stay in her home.
Princess Alice was aware of what was going on in the world and knew that the Jews were being targeted and cruelly treated, and instead of handing Cohen and his children over, she cared for them, sheltered them and kept them hidden. Princess Alice knew just how dangerous it was for her to be involved, for she put the needs of this family before her own. The Nazis, at times, even suspected that she was hiding something, but when questioned, she still never said a word, and played on her hearing impairment that she didn't understand the questions.
Princess Alice was a truly honourable woman. Her son, Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, said, "I suspect that it never occurred to her that her action was in any way special. She was a person with deep religious faith, and she would have considered it to be a totally human action for fellow human beings in distress."
Thank you. We'd now like to welcome Mia, who is going to be reading two poems, the first of which is Schindler's List by Colin Ian Jeffrey. Schindler's List. Oscar Schindler was a member of the Nazi Party and a war profiteer. He saved 1,100 Jews during the Holocaust. He was enigmatic, one man who was against overwhelming odds made a difference. Save one life and you save the world. The dark tide of evil swept over Europe, eclipsing light and truth, and Nazi jackboots stomped down upon the necks of innocents to oppress. With SS and Gestapo spreading terror, and for the Jews, Hitler's final solution. Schindler was a German businessman, successful, enjoying a good, wealthy life. Winning wine and dining in the best restaurants, making love to beautiful women, driving fast cars, a friend of high-ranking SS, using the black market to make huge profits. When he saw the treatment of the Jews, forced to wear the Star of David, humiliated and beaten in the street, living in ghettos like animals in a zoo, transporting cattle trucks to the death camps. Then a divine light flickered on it within his heart. Seeing the evil, he tried to rescue Jews, purchasing a factory to enjoy Jewish labour.
saving them from the gas chamber, creating his list of names and bribing the SS, risking torture and execution and saving as many Jews as he could. Jews he saved called themselves Schindler's Juden, and when the war was over, Israel honoured him with the title of Righteous Person. He planted a tree in the Avenue of the Righteous, where it flourished as a sign of one man's morality. Oscar Schindler is buried in Israel. This is the life story of Irina Sendlerova. Irina Sendlerova, later known as Irina Sendler, was born in 1910 to a Polish family living in suburbs of the city of Warsaw. Her family was a physician, many of whose patients were Jews. During the Nazi occupation of Poland, she was a social worker with the city's social welfare department, and as an employee of this department, she had a special permit to enter the ghetto where she wore a yellow scarf. In secret, Irina directed a children's rescue group to smuggle Jewish children from the ghetto. This group was part of an organisation underground, council called Zagota, set up to help Jews. When Irina managed to rescue children, she provided them with false papers and placed them with the substitute Polish families, who pretended to their neighbours that the children were relatives. When she could not find a suitable family willing to take such a tremendous risk, she placed them in Catholic institutions like the Warsaw Orphanage of the Sisters of the Family of Mary, or in convents. Everyone hoped that relatives of the children might survive the Nazis, and so Irina kept careful records of all the children so that they could be easily found after the war. She hid her records, which she wrote on small pieces of paper in jars in a friend's garden. These records showed that Irina was able to save nearly 2,500 children from certain death under the Nazis. Inevitably, Irina was found and arrested by the Gestapo. In October 1943, she was arrested and taken to a prison, where she was brutally tortured and made to reveal information. However, despite this treatment, Irina gave nothing away, and she was condemned to death. However, on the day of her execution, other members of Zagota were able to bribe one of the Gestapo agents, and in the nick of time, Irina was rescued. Officially, however, she was listed on the public bulletin boards as among those executed. Irina assumed a false identity and continued to help the underground rescue operations, although she was forced to stay outside the remainder of the war. For many years, her amazing story remained untold, but eventually it became known. Some pupils at school in America researching for a history project made it into a play called Life in a Jar, after the method Irina had used to keep track of the children. In 2003, Irina received the Order of the White Eagle, the highest Polish civil decoration, recipient of the Jan Karski Award for Valour and Compassion. Her age prevented her from attending the ceremony in the USA. The message she sent included these words: "But we and future generations must also remember the human cruelty and hate which led to those who handed over their neighbours to the enemy, the hate which told them to commit murder. There is also indifference towards the tragedy of those who perished. It is my dream that this memory become a warning to the world and that humanity never experiences such tragedy ever again."
Or Be Forgot, which was written by Emma Sanders, a fellow student at Chesterfield College, who unfortunately could not make it tonight. Whilst writing the following poem, I was considering what people with mental health difficulties may have felt at the time of the war. The poem is about a teenage boy that protects his sister by sending her to safety. He is deciding whether he should go, but is fighting the demons inside of him. He is asking whether he deserves to be sent to safety, and if physical freedom will free his mental illness.
Though I could not go, this pain will not. Dear Ray John, burden be gone, this tears burn her flesh. I hope the best, floods gather, barriers beside. I fear their delight. You but still rabid, be the last I will not, detained in this mind, worthy of what? Change of this state, power have I got? Should I flee or be forgot? The next poem is called When the Night Descends on Earth by Hasmuk Amathalal. When dead night descends on earth, it is for sure someone is picked from his birth. To travel to safety, to heavenly abode and reside, seek permanent refuge with all worries to subside. Night depicts horror, terror in colour black, no chance to recover and report back. But when it largely looms over the big horizon, big dark forests may feel shame in Amazons. Nature's discrimination is well defined. It has message and meaning well refined. Never it has narrow aim and not confined, always kind to mankind and not fine. If nature resorts to some kind of discrimination, the place left only is ground cremation. It needs no signal for confirmation. Its impact is always yes in affirmation. It is difficult to understand the term racial. Beauty may surface even without facial. Survival may be the question crucial, but why practice it private or official? If you can challenge the power supreme, steps you take very outdated and extreme. Only you think that race may extinct if you not resort to attack and inflict. Many nations look so liberal and human. Advocate for human rights for women. Messenger of love and peace sent across. But at home they draw the sharp swords. Who can prove which race is super? Claim over all and try to keep hand upper. Can this lead to harmony and avoid unrest? Which course is left and suitable and best? My head bows in shame and protest, not succumb to pressure and contest. It is not the time for attack and test. The hard-won battle may have more rest. I continue to suffer, I live in fine. Many leave homes and leave by flight. May not be the reason so convincing and right, but dark may always rule over beautiful light. Racial attacks on students serve no purpose. In older day kings were thrown and deposed. Does this not shock the student community, who are symbol of process and continuity? Whether students, black, white or creed, all are essential and immediate need. What most they expect is positive feed, so when back home can certainly need. Thank you.
Thinking it would be Sarah's best chance of survival.
Eventually, Sarah decided to make a march to try and find food for her family. She slipped away unnoticed and hid in a barn where she collapsed and was discovered by Stan Wells. Stan found her exhausted, starving and very weak. He gave her some food, wrapped her in a blanket and brought her to the 9 of the British prisoners of war named above. Together, the 10 men hid Sarah in a hayloft and took it in turns to care for her. They washed her, bought her food and nursed her back to health, helping tend to her frostbite and putting paraffin in her hair to stop the lice from spreading. The men took great risks helping Sarah. There was a police station just by their living quarters, and the hayloft where she was hidden was above the stables for the police horses. When the British prisoners were moved, they arranged for her to be looked after by a local woman, who agreed to do all she could to keep her safe. She survived the war, and 25 years on, she succeeded in tracking down the 10 British men who saved her life. All 10 men have now been recognised as heroes, both by Britain and Israel, after Sarah wrote a book to tell the world her amazing story. Next, I'll be doing a presentation just marking the Holocaust in more than 2016. What is genocide? Genocide has been defined as any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial or religious group. Some examples of this are killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction, in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group and forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. The Holocaust is the most formidable and horrendous genocide in history. It's been estimated that around 1 million children, men and women were killed during the Holocaust from 1941 to 1945. This happened because a single group believed they had ultimate power over those who had different beliefs, for example, cultural, religious and sexual. With this power, they thought they had the right to victimise, kill, torture, destroy anyone who was different or stood against what they wanted. Genocide history. Firstly, we must honour the memory of the millions of Jewish people who were victimised and treated in the cruelest of ways. The inhumane ways in which these people were treated during the Holocaust is a prime example of why genocide must not be allowed to happen again. As well as the millions of brave Jewish people, it's important to remember and understand the thousands of non-Jewish people who played their part in trying to stop the horrific events which were happening every day. We must commemorate and honour all those who took a stand and fought to protect the innocent, even at the risk of their own lives. Some examples of people who lost their lives during the most eminent genocide in history are civilians and soldiers from the Soviet Union, Catholics from Poland, Serbs, disabled people, homosexuals and Jehovah's Witnesses, Polish civilians, Roma and Sinti people, and Slavic people. The Holocaust ended in 1945, and with that came the hope that mass killings and further genocide would cease to occur. But this has not happened. We must unite and not stand by when we see or hear prejudice. We must join together to prevent further mass murders such as the ones in Cambodia, which began in 1975 and ended in 1979, where approximately 2 million people died. In Rwanda, throughout 1994, where approximately 1 million people were killed. And in Bosnia from 1992 to 1995, where approximately 8,000 men, women and children were killed. And in Darfur throughout the year 2003, where approximately 300,000 people died. Hate crime is an ever-growing issue both nationally and internationally. It's defined as a crime motivated by racial, sexual or other prejudice, typically one involving violence. Hate crime can be seen in many forms and against a variety of diverse individuals or groups. For example, those who are transgender, homosexual, who have a disability or or of a different religion or follow a different culture. Another example of hate crime is those who follow Daesh, physically attacking those who believe are in, who are the wrong type of Muslim or other groups who do not support the views they do. This is carried out in a variety of ways, such as hostage taking, sexual assault, victimisation, forcibly removing innocent people from families and their homes, and execution. This example leads appropriately on to one of the biggest forms of discrimination seen within the UK currently, and this is Islamophobia. I believe it is important to speak out about this problem in order to prevent the risks of the steps to genocide continuing. Islamophobia is a huge issue facing modern society in the United Kingdom and a variety of other countries. Islamophobia, or the anti-Muslim sentiment, is the prejudice against, hatred towards, or fear of the religion of Islam or Muslims. From 1997, this term has come about as a result of terrorist threats, attacks, and movements. Many Muslim men, women, and children face daily discrimination in the form of verbal, physical, and environmental injustice. Once again, history is in the midst of a new genocide, and we must take a stand once more to protect those who are subject to violent, unjust and abusive behaviours. Millions of Muslims face daily threats to their safety because of the actions of prejudiced and bigoted minorities who act in the name of Islam. These are not true Muslims. They hide behind this religion and culture, and they hide behind a title whilst carrying out cruel and horrific acts of terrorism. To stop this, we cannot stand by. We must be educated, we must be strong, and we must stand by equality and be representatives of anti-discriminatory practice. Thank you. And we are able to sing Imagine.